Our scripture reading for today, our discipleship and formation pastor, David, is going to teach this morning. I sat through the 9 a.m. and, wow, I'm getting emotional. Sorry. It'll get emotional later. It's powerful. So just brace yourselves and grab tissue if you need to. But our scripture reading for the morning, Philippians 1, 12 to 26. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. And as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is the word of the Lord. Together we say.
Many of you know that I'm a foodie, so about 20 years ago, I was at a expensive steakhouse in downtown Boston with my girlfriend at that time. And I've been saving up because I was a seminarian, so I saved up for many months to eat this incredible medium rare ribeye. And I'm super excited to celebrate and eat this, mainly to eat the food, but to celebrate some of the milestones And so we get to the restaurant, and we sit down, and we started having a conversation. And soon enough, I started saying some stuff, and she started to get really upset and annoyed. That happens often in my life, I guess. And so we got into a little bit of an argument, and we order our food, and the conversation is just getting worse. I try to save it, and it's not happening. And And if you've been to like nice kind of steakhouses, you know how sometimes the tables are like right next to each other? And so all of a sudden, she's like getting really frustrated. And so she started to raise her voice. And now kind of the people around, you know when other, if you see like some kind of fight or trouble at another table, you kind of quickly like just want to lean in. You're like, yes, it's my time to hear what's going on. And we secretly enjoy that. I do. And but not when it's happening to you. And so I'm kind of like, hey, like you got to quiet down, and she's like raising her voice, and now everybody's kind of looking at us, and she's like, hey, David, I'm done with this conversation, tired of you, I don't even want to eat this food, I'm done. And so she gets up, she takes her purse, and she starts walking out. As she is walking out, I see my server opening the door with the medium rare ribeye steak that I've been wanting for a long time. And so as a mature 22-year-old would do, I decided to just sit and eat the steak. Sorry, Lord. couldn't help it. I couldn't face the pain, the reality that I would have to give up this fresh, like sizzling ribeye steak. I couldn't help to give that up, and I couldn't face the pain of getting up and striking up a conversation and asking her for forgiveness and explain and to listen to her and to figure and work through our differences. I didn't want to deal with that, and I certainly didn't want to get up and you know, as a people pleaser, to see the whole room just like looking at me, the shame and the embarrassment. I'd rather just self-medicate through the pleasures of the medium rare ribeye steak that is in front of me. And if we are honest in our own journey as well, we don't do suffering and pain well. And we rather avoid it and escape it at all costs. And more than ever in our history, we have enough tools and opportunities for us to distract ourselves and to avoid pain in our lives. We have all sorts of things like entertainment and YouTube, Netflix, and gallons of your favorite ice cream and food. And even for many of us here in Silicon Valley, we rather overwork ourselves than to face some of the troubles at home, in our marriages, in our relationships. Sometimes we just rather just kind of quickly move on to the next topic or conversation or to switch churches if need to be. And I'm not saying all of them are bad if there's a right reason for that. But what I'm trying to say is there's kind of a tendency in our culture today for us to believe this lie that pleasure and personal, individual pleasure and happiness is what matters most. And anything that gets in the way, especially pain and suffering, it is meaningless and we ought to avoid it at all costs. But the invitation for followers of Jesus is to actually engage and participate in that journey. So later in this book, I just want to quickly show Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. It says this: I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. We love, as followers of Jesus, the first line. We want to know the power of Christ, the new life and encouragement and life to the fullest and healing and wholeness. And we love that, and we should. But at the same time, that invitation, by the way, participation is really an active engagement, right? And it says not a passive, but active engagement with our sufferings. For the followers of Jesus, it's not to numb or avoid or distract ourselves, but to face it and actually to lean into that, because Christ also leaned into the sufferings of this world and he participated in it. He wasn't shy from that. And if our aim is to become more like Jesus and to know him really fully, then we ought to know all that he's gone through, which includes pain and suffering. And in the scriptures, Jesus talks about, you know, for us to carry our crosses and to follow him. And so that's the invitation. Again, the world tells us that suffering is meaningless. So we design our lives to avoid it at all costs. And by the way, some of you work in fields to make the world a better place. Like I have a friend who is in the medical devices and trying to alleviate pain. I mean, we're grateful for that. And that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we're designing ourselves and our lives so that we can avoid all of the invitation of Jesus. And by the way, you still suffer by taking those options, right? To disconnect from your community or life group or friendships, right? That causes loneliness and deep pain. And to eat the gallons of your favorite ice cream, that's going to cause decline in your health. And we turn to sin to avoid pain because it promises that it will alleviate our pain, but it ultimately causes us more pain. So, for all of us, there's an invitation, especially for the followers of Jesus, to have a renewed framework of the suffering of the theology of suffering in our lives. I know that's not a fun topic to talk about, but again, in our invitation to become more like Jesus and to know him, and you all know this, forgiveness, that requires a lot of work and pain to confess your sins in your life group. That causes pain. To be honest and to be vulnerable and to not know how your stories will be held or responded to work through your past trauma and triggers with your therapist, that requires pain because you have to, it costs us time, money, energy, resources to serve in a ministry. That causes pain because it sacrifices our comfort and our time and energy and resources to give. That causes pain. Again, all those things, as you know, it's an invitation as we do. Ultimately, it gives us greater freedom, joy, and life, and trust in Jesus, all of that. But in the short kind of term perspective, we see those pains, and so we rather not deal and face them and to work through all that Jesus is inviting us to consider. So we do not know how to suffer well in our cultural moment, and we hope that this letter will give us a path forward. Let's pray together. Jesus, yeah, so we cannot do this apart from your grace and apart from your strength. You're not inviting us to just figure this out with our own strength. It's really, pain is painful, Jesus, and we're trying to be honest with that. And so, God, in our world today where we can turn and run to other things, help us to see the purpose or the meaning behind it. Help us to see your invitation in it. Help us to find joy and freedom in it, all that you desire for us. And we pray all things in your name. Amen. Would you turn with me to the text that the chapter 1 that Jay read for us? And let's read this verse by verse. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And Paul, you know, he's in house arrest, and he's saying, what has happened to me, this pain and suffering of being arrested and being under house arrest, it's not meaningless. It's actually serving me to advance the gospel. There's a meaning and purpose to my pain and suffering, and that I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Of course, Paul's saying, man, because of that, so many people have come to know the Lord and become confident. Well, it makes sense, because if you're under house arrest, imagine all the guards that are in rotation to watch Paul. And can you imagine Apostle Paul, who wrote like half of the Bible, just constantly talking about as they're sitting together, as they're watching, hey, do you know about Jesus? And you know how amazing he is? Do you know that he died for us? And you know that he gives us? And at a certain point, after day, month after month, I mean, I could imagine all those palace guards being like, Paul, I accept Christ. Can you stop talking, please? Right? And so many have come to know the Lord and become confident. And, you know, we often think suffering is a hindrance. No? It's a hindrance to our lives. That's why we avoid it. It's like it's got no meaning to it. And I love, I want to show you the Greek word here. It's really interesting. The Greek word that Paul uses to say it has a, this was all served to advance, and he's doing a play on word here. The word to hindrance is really close, right? So he's saying, I know many of you probably think my suffering and my house arrest is a hindrance to my work in the gospel, and that's what we think about all the pain and suffering in our lives, but it's actually for the followers of Jesus, it's an advancement. I love what Tim Keller says about this. In the secular view, suffering is never seen as a meaningful part of life, but only as an interruption. And I wonder if we too many times believe that. Just a pastoral comment here, because this is really important, and it's true, right, that as we suffer and as we're in pain, that to not lose sight of God's invitation and what God wants to do through that. But I just want to make this note clear for all of us. There are people, there are followers of Jesus who have a hard time sitting with people in pain. And so instead of listening to the complexities of the world and our pain in people's lives, you just go right to them and you just talk about God's hope and suffering. Like, as you're struggling, you just go to them and be like, don't you know that God has a purpose for you and that this is for your good and your and God's glory? And people who kind of do the whole spiritual bypassing without recognizing the complexities of pain and suffering and just go quickly to meaning and purpose, that's not kind and pastorally helpful. So that's really important. So, of course, that's part of the journey, but to sit with them, and as Job's friends did in the earlier on, and that was really good that they did. Later on, they goofed up, but in the earlier on, just to sit and to sit with people in pain and to ask questions and to hear and to pray alongside them instead of throwing out Christian jargons because you feel uncomfortable sitting in their pain. And we got to get better. And that's not what Paul's saying, but just a pastoral comment there. But it's really important for us to know that, to sit with folks and also remind them of the hope that we have in Jesus when the time is right for their journey to Jesus. Continuing on, it is true that some people, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this, I rejoice. Since we're doing verse by verse, a quick Bible study note here for Bible nerds in this room. This is not an endorsement of false motives being okay. Just right? Paul's saying, hey, what does it matter? Like, whether they're doing it with good reasons or not, like, they preach out of selfishness and envy. Who cares? Like, they are preaching Jesus and I'm okay. And by the way, integrity and motives matter dearly to the heart of God. And for followers of Jesus, I mean, Jesus talks about this all the time. It's not about the outer appearance, but your what's happening inside your heart and your motivations, your longings and desires, and what you're really intending to do, that matters for us. The context is so important, friends. This is why Paul is just talking about, I have enemies. I have people who are against me that are trying to get and go after me. But who cares? Whatever they're trying to do, if somehow they're still like preaching about Jesus in the process, like they don't like my preaching, so they're going to preach it differently, but it's proclaiming Christ, like, I'm okay with that. Paul's saying, I'm not going to make a big deal out of that. That's the context, not about endorsement of poor motives. But what this text tells us, though, is something really important about our theology of suffering, that there are many kinds and many reasons for suffering in our lives. And I don't have time to go through all of them, but just a few, just to get the conversation started. Some suffering happens because of the choices that we've made. So if you go steal something and you get caught and you get arrested and you go to jail, and you're in chains, it's not like you're like, man, like, oh, this sounds similar to Apostle Paul. I'm in chains for Christ. No, you're not. You stole something. and you're in jail because of your consequences the choices that you've made. And so sometimes pain and suffering many times come because of the choices that we've made to not follow Jesus and to not go into the things that, and that has its own consequences of pain in our lives. Scene here, sometimes suffering and pain comes because of people around us. Oh, those are good, aren't they? And Paul, his co-workers in the gospel happened to be who had so much envy and jealousy, and we have friends and family members like that, or people in our workplaces, and that can cause us pain in the things that they say or do. Another reason for that, it could be just the fallenness of this world, just the brokenness and sin that captures this world, the natural disasters and evil that's happening. I mean, that could be another reason for that could be like just spiritual realities, like kind of the Job scene where there's demonic forces that it's the spiritual realities and demonic forces that come to kill, steal, and destroy all the good things that God is doing in our lives. Another one, I don't think we think about this often. Sometimes pain and suffering comes because of the godly choices that we make. You stand up for injustice, and that causes some rift amongst your friendship at your workplace. You fight on someone's behalf because of the wrong things that they've been mistreated by, but it might cost you your own things as well. But again, good choices also, choosing Jesus also, choosing others and loving others and fighting for the poor and the weak also can cause suffering. And even the scripture talks about for children of God, that God even brings about and uses the suffering to discipline and correct our course. Tim Keller says this, some sufferings is given, next slide, please. Yeah, thank you. Some suffering is given in order to chastise and correct a person for wrongful patterns of life, as is in the case of Jonah, imperiled by the storm. Some suffering is given not to correct past wrongs, but to prevent future ones, as is the case of Joseph sold into slavery. And some suffering has no purpose other than to lead a person to love God more ardently for himself alone, so to discover the ultimate peace and freedom, the late Tim Keller says. And by the way, I'll be quoting more Keller, and all this is from his incredible book that he wrote in 2015, Walking with God in Pain and Suffering. We bought additional copies in our resource book center, and you can grab a copy if you'd like. Really helpful, because he's not just talking about all the different theology and the scripture understanding, which is so crucial, but also kind of the pastoral touch to that and what it means in our discipleship to Jesus. While it's important, friends, to know what may be causing our suffering, because that discernment is really important for us to how to engage in that suffering, how to pray, what to pray for, how to realign our lives. That's really important. But ultimately, no matter what, I just mentioned like six, no matter what may be, the invitation is that no matter what may be, all of the suffering and pain in our lives must, the ultimate goal is to draw us near to Jesus, to make us realize that we cannot figure this out with our own strength and power and wisdom, that we need the help of our Savior and our King, that in our pain and suffering, some of the things that are overwhelming in our journey, that it must and it ought to invite us to a deeper conversation and intimacy with God. And that is the invitation. That is the journey. So continuing on, Paul says this, yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And this is really important. And I'm going to talk more about this later. But this is really important, that through your prayers and God's help, God's provision through the Spirit of Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And Paul says, yeah, like as I navigate my own, like I don't know what's going to happen to my life. I don't know what's going to happen to my being in chain, and I don't know what will come about. But man, I'm rejoicing because my deliverance, my rescue comes through two primary ways. He says, One is through the prayers of God's people. So important. And so we're going to pray for one another today, later on. So like people who are going through pain and suffering, prayers of God's saints help my deliverance. And the second is the help and the power of the Holy Spirit. The comforting nature of the Holy Spirit, his work in us, his presence, that he will never leave us, abandon us, forsake us. He is for us and not against us. The power of the Spirit of God and the prayers of God's people will help me in my pain and suffering. So encouraging, and we will get to that in a bit more. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed but will have sufficient courage so that now as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, his famous line, and to die is gain. Powerful. We'll unpack that. If I go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is Paul saying, whether I live or die, whatever happens to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. He really had a deep friendship and connection and intimacy with Christ. And I love this, like what suffering does is that suffering helps us to move from what we theoretically know about God into reality in our bodies, whether we truly believe that or not. And Paul says this, and I want to show you kind of the Greek phrase, because you got to hear it to even just know, like, to live, that famous, like, to live is Christos, and to die is gain, kurdos. Like, Paul is like, I mean, even in the sound of it, like, to live is Christos, and to die is to gain kurdos. Like, they're connected. Like, even if I die, like, the gain is Christ. I get to meet with him, and I get to have him, and I get to be face-to-face with him. It's a gain. The world tells us that death is the final thing, the finale of our lives, and we must extend and avoid at all costs if possible. But for Paul, even the greatest suffering and pain we know in this world as death, Paul says, that's gain, because I get to gain Christ. I get to see Christ and meet him face to face. So that's why Paul says it's far better for me to do so, to depart and to be with Christ. Now 8-9 years ago, Skylar, our firstborn, came into our family, and my dad and my mom, they flew over to meet their first grandkid, and super grateful for that. And there's a photo of that. And there's my dad, there's my mom, and that's not me, that's my brother holding my baby. I don't know why, because I'm taking the photo, I guess. And my wife Nina there, and Skylar, and my dad just, you know, he introduced Jesus to me and to our family. And so, you know, just coming back from the hospital, it's like, obviously the most important thing is like Nina is exhausted, and we got to care for her and her health. Of course, that's the utmost importance. And as we came to our home together, the first thing Dad said was, man, can we, before we do all of that, can we just pause? And I want my granddaughter, Skylar, to hear the voice of God. And so he opens the Bible, and he just begins to read scripture over Skylar. And he's praying that she would come to know the voice of our Savior, and that God would bless her, protect her, and strengthen her in every way, and just so grateful for my dad's voice into my life, into our family, into the granddaughter. And I share this story because, and please bear with me, this is my first time sharing this story. 2 weeks ago, I got a call from my dad, and my dad said, "Hey, David, I have to, I have a news to tell you." And I said, "What's going on?" And dad said, "I just been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And as you know, it has the lowest survival rate out of all cancers. And as I'm actually so crazy, as I'm teaching this text, as I'm citing Dr. late Tim Keller today, May 19th, today, a year ago, is when Dr. Keller passed from the same cancer, pancreatic cancer. So just a lot of just like stuff for me is happening emotionally. And I'm just thinking about this text, thinking about the late Keller and my dad going through the same thing. And friends, suffering isn't like isn't a doctrine or a theory. Suffering is, it's our lived experience as humans. And suffering and pain comes to us all, right? So this is not just what are different ways in which suffering can come, and is that my thing or God thing? All that stuff, like at the end of the day, there's a suffering is, and pain is a real thing. Like for you sitting in this room, like, I don't know what's happening in your journey, but we as pastors and staff, we get our prayer requests and we hear from life group leaders and confidentially without names. And I'm in my life group hearing on Thursday so some of the things that's going on in the families of our life group and many of you here in this room, and this is not a theory, like you are carrying pain and suffering into this room, like you, like my dad, might have some health concerns, and you might have some relational conflict, and it's overwhelming for you with your family, with your marriages. I mean, we're talking about financial lab, and like finances is a really difficult burden and pain in your life, job loss. I mean, you just name it, your adult kid, or you're just your children, like your close friend, and in the relational conversation or conflict that may be there, just what may be happening in all of those areas. Like, we all carry that into the room. And so I, after hearing the news on Monday, this just 6 days ago, I called my dad and I said, "Hey, Dad, you know, how are you? How's it going?" And my mom's on the speakerphone, so I could hear mom. And my dad said, and it's just crazy because my dad doesn't know that I'm teaching this Sunday. I mean, and doesn't even know what I'm talking about. My dad cites our passage today, and he says this: "I am torn between the two. I decide to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. David, of course I will miss your mom. Of course I will miss you guys. But David, I can't wait to see Jesus. I've been preaching him for 40 years. I can't wait to hug him and bow at his feet. He is my King, my Lord, and my Savior. He saved me, and I can't wait to hold him and say, 'Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for everything you've done in my life.' Of course," and I hear my mom just wailing on the phone, "of course I will miss you guys. And I love Jesus. And just to hear that on the phone, you know, in pain and suffering, this is when our faith becomes tested and we realize whether this is real or not. And my father, just embodying the kingdom heart and reality to not see death as the final statement over his life, but to live is Christos And to die is gain, kurdos, that he really, really understood what that meant for him and his own journey. And I share that with you because I know that for many in this room, you also carry that. And so I would love to invite the worship team to lead us into just a time of prayer. And we're going to be moving into two different prayer movements together as a community. And again, why are we praying together? Because God says that it's through the presence and the comfort of the Holy Spirit and the power that he offers, and through the prayers of the saints, the family of God. And so, man, like, it would be amiss for us to not pause here and to pray together. And so if, right now, the first group that we want to pray for is if you are going through it, like you are personally going through pain and suffering in this season of your life. In a bit, I'm going to ask you just to stand, and even for you to stand is like, man, that takes a lot of energy out of you, and we get that. But we want you to stand so that we could see you and extend our hand as a community and to say we see you. And we ask for God's presence over your life. We ask that God would deliver you, God would rescue you, and that God would heal you and restore you in every way, financially, physically, emotionally, mentally, in your relational dynamics. We don't know, whatever that may be. And by the way, there is no small or big suffering. If it's hurting you, that's suffering and pain. Like, don't like calculate, is this worth standing? No, there's nothing like that. If you are carrying something heavy in this season, God sees you and we see you. And if that's you, wherever you are, would you all stand? Yeah. So many folks hurting in our family. I won't rush the conversation. Anybody else? For you, it just takes a little bit for you to stand, and we get that. We want to honor you and not force you or not pressure you in any way. But you're carrying something. Friends, look around in this room. So much pain and suffering. So if you are able, just would you stretch out your hand to the person that you can see? And we will read this prayer liturgy. I'll read this modified from the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray together. Be near us in our time of weakness and pain. Sustain all of us, our Westgate Church family, by your grace, that our strength and courage may not fail. God, please help us according to your will, and heal us according to your will, and help us to trust in your goodness and love. We pray in the most powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I move to the second prayer prompt, I'm going to invite the worship team to sing verse 3 of this song, of one of my favorite ancient hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And verse 3 says this. I'm going to just read it because I think it's really fitting for our prayer today. God, you give pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. God, thine own dear presence, your spirit and your presence to cheer, strengthen, empower, and guide us in every way. God, we pray for one thing, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000s beside. God, no matter what we're going through, God, we know that you have us. So great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. morning by morning, God, we welcome your new mercies every time we see it. And all we ever need, God, you have already provided. So great is thy faithfulness. We worship you. We trust you. We give you honor, Jesus. And so before we go into our second prayer prompt, would you join us just in singing this song and asking God for his strength in our community? Second prayer movement as a community is maybe you're in a good season and you're really grateful to Jesus and you're in a sweet season in your life and there's a lot of joy and celebration and we celebrate that. And so maybe for the first prayer movement that wasn't you. But the second prayer movement is we may know someone that we care about deeply and they are going through it. They are in a lot of pain and suffering, and it's a dear friend of yours, a family member, a coworker, and they've shared some of the things with you. And as I'm saying this, like Holy Spirit is revealing that name to you. And they do not have even the courage to stand for themselves, but thanks be to God, because God says it is the prayers of God's saints. And so we're gonna stand on behalf of them and pray and ask God for strength and courage and wisdom. So if you know anyone and if the Holy Spirit is revealing a person in your life, and for me, it's my dad, so I will be, because I'm in a good season personally, but in this prayer prompt, I will be lifting up my dad. So if there's anyone in this room and you have someone to lift up, would you all stand? And maybe just put out your hand, and if you can, just wherever you are, just say their name. So God, we entrust these precious lives under your care. We thank you that Jesus, that you care about the world's pain and suffering so much that you gave your life to bring healing and wholeness to this entire world. And you carried it on the cross for us so that we may be healed and restored. And we're so grateful. So Jesus, You love each, every person, and you care about them more than we ever can. And so wherever they are, God, I pray that you would heal them, strengthen them, empower them, and encourage them in every way. And Jesus, we ask that you would do a brand new thing, that you would shower them down with mercies from heaven, and that you would give them strength for today and hope for tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you all stand? And we're just going to sing this song again, Pardon for Sin, and just as a community, and then we'll continue to worship Jesus together.